Okay, last week we began Siman Kuf Tzadi Zayin on Tevila, and so we'll finish that up, and we're going to go back and then do Paleta, a topic we didn't get to in Kuf Tzadi Vav, and then we'll start the opening of, we're starting Kuf Tzadi Chet and Kuf Tzadi Tet on Chatzitzot now, so just a little opener to it. Okay, may one go to mikvah during the day? That's the question that we are dealing with now, because the Gemara says, on day 8, one can go when there's danger. For example, Itkin Ravidi Benarish Lametpo Biyoma de Tmanya, and that's going to be important on the 8th day. Misham Ariuto, dangerous lions, let's say. Misham Ganvi, a different one, when there's thieves. Misham Tsina, if it's too cold out. Misham Abulai, we'll get back to what that one means, but it means that there might be potholes, and it'll be too dark, and you might fall and get hurt. And among the Rishonim, the conclusion is the Balamora says daytime is not a problem at all. And the Ravid is the other extreme. It says not only is it a problem, it doesn't even work as a tefillah. And the Rambam has a middle stance that we don't do it lecharchila, but it does work b'di'evit. And how do we paskin l'maisa? We have the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Heicha de'ika ones kegon shiyir... So she can't go at night because it's cold or she's scared of dangerous of thieves, or they close the gates and you're just not allowed out. She can go on the 8th day during the day. Not on the 7th day, even if there's onus. That's what he says in Sif Dalet. Then in Sif Hey, he says, let's say she went on the 8th day without onus. It still works as tefillah. Im avra tavla altala. And so too, if she went on the 7th day, the tefillah does work b'di'evit. So like the Rambam, not like the Ravid. And then the Rambam points out, and we'll get back to that more in a minute. Still, even if she went during the day, she shouldn't have relations until the nightfall. V'tastir tefillah tami ba'al adalayla. She shouldn't even let her husband know that she was tovelet until after nightfall. So it says one can go on day 8, not day 7, but the Evid, if you went even day 7, it works as tefillah. But why not go on day 8? So the Gra points out that if you look at the Lashon of our Gemara, it says, Yoma de Tamanya, where those Heterim of the Gemara need the Samach Zayin. Okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch did permit due to onus, but look, what kind of onus are we talking about? Are we talking about general onus, that it's a problem for everybody? Or this specific woman has an issue that prevents her, for example? So the Pitkei Tshuva cites the Chamude Daniel, who says it's only if it's onus l'chol anashim shabair. It's got to be for everybody. The Lechem V'Simla, I'm sorry, it's not on Bar Ilan, and I didn't have access to Sfarim. I was traveling, so I can't put the source on the screen here. But he says even a private one works. And he has two proofs. One was the Rambam, who uses the Lashon here that you see. Hayta chola. She was sick. That's not a problem for everybody. That's a problem for this specific. And let's go back to the previous slide. Remember, what was the Lashon that the Shulchan Aruch used? Hechadika ones kegon sheyareya. She is afraid. Litvo balayla machatzina bagaganavim. It doesn't say everybody's afraid. It says she is. Those are two pretty good proofs that he has. And therefore, he says that even if it's an individual issue. Now, we said at the end of the piece of the Shulchan Aruch that the Rama mentions that we are nohig to hide the tefillah from our husband, but we also have a more general rule about hiding tefillah in general. We shouldn't let people know when it's tefillah night. So the Gemara in Erevin says about a people of a certain place, Benotein Shel Yoshe Tzrif and Namar Aror Shochev in Kol Beima. About those people, it's like they're sleeping with animals. Why? Everybody knew when they were going to mikvah. Why? So Rashi tells us, She'en lahem mikvot be'ir. There was no mikvah in town. So every once a month, the women used to have to go on a road trip. Everybody knew when it was their mikvah night. So that's important to have a local mikvah so that people don't notice this. Rokef says, you don't want people to notice that. And the Rama paskins this lalacha. People People shouldn't see it. Shlo yargishu ben bnei adam. People shouldn't notice it. Misha eno osaken. He quotes that same pasuk that we had in the source on the top. The Gemara in Ervin, Aror shochev in behima. So now that we understand that you're supposed to hide your lel tefila, so let's combine the last two sugyas. We had one sugya about going to mikveh during the day, and we had one sugya about hiding your lel tefila. So let's say, can a woman needs to hide her tefila, and if she goes at night, everybody's going to know about it. Like, let's say there's a big event, big family simcha, everyone's in the home, everyone's in the same home together. So can you allow tefila during the day in order to hide her lel tefila? So the Ramah says a woman who can't hide her tefila is an example of the ones that permits tefila on day 8. And he has a pretty good proof. What is the proof? And that was the last of the Gemara that we mentioned. Remember, the Gemara listed Ariyuta, lions, Ganavim, and Sina, cold. So what was the fourth one? Abulai. What is Abulai? Rashi here says, Abulai, Sha'arei ha'ir v'avdi kachavim hein, Lishn acher binyanim shal marot hayu b'derek b'edat filah v'im tipol sham tistakein. So it's either that there were workers who would see her, or that there were holes and it was dangerous. So there's holes and it's dangerous, so pashut, you know what you do? You bring a flashlight along. Okay, then have electric flashlights. So you bring a torch along. So why not just use a torch? Oh, that's the issue. If you use a torch, everyone's going to see this woman going out with a torch in the dark. Everyone's going to know she has mikveh night. So too, this is the Shita and the Sidrei Tara, and the Shita of the Rav Poalim, of the Ben Ish Chai, that they said if everyone's going to know if you go at night, that you're permitted to go in during the day. The Agor is who the Ramah based as Halacha on. Otan Nashim Shetolu Vayom Shrikhan Lastir Tvilatam Vealein. They should still be sure to hide it until it's nighttime. Nonetheless, even if we found room when you need it, that it's still, we prefer, it is much more agreed upon to do nighttime tefillot. So don't just give up on the Friday night tefillot, even with the house full of company. You can usually figure these things out, how to do it. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a great diuk. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, doesn't say you have to hide it from everybody. It says, Hashcheinim Margishim, or Shemargishim Zebazel Tefillot. And Bifnei Abriot is the Ramaz Lashon. So what does that mean? Everybody shouldn't know. It doesn't mean no one can know. So what if I tell one person, and that person is able to keep a secret and help me out? Then I can go. So in other words, if I go in a certain way without telling anyone, everyone's going to figure it out. But if I tell one person, no one will notice. So if I just tell this one person, they'll watch my kids. Everyone's going to wonder, why is your husband not going to shul? So if this lady's watching my kids, my husband will go to shul and nobody will know. So just tell the one person, or one person, just tell your mother, and the mother wants to go on a walk with you. And that's allowed, and mother walks you to the mikvah. So there's lots of ways to do it, so that is definitely preferable. Okay, that was the sugya of Kuf Tzadi Zayin. We've basically finished the topic of Lel Tefila. Now let's go back to be mashlim, one sugya from Kuf Tzadi Vav, and that's the sugya of Poletet. Because the Gemara says regarding Taharot, a woman who's a mishameshet can't eat truma for 3 days because she is poletet. Mishameshet kol shlosh yamim asura lechol betruma she'yav sharla shlo tiflot. Okay, she had relations, so that means that there's going to be an excretion of the zera, and she's going to be poleted, and therefore that prevents her from eating truma. Now that was regarding Taharot. That wasn't an Isser Lebala. But we view Poletet as, the Gemara tells us, that it's not Mevatel Shiv Nakim, but it is a Yom Naki. The Gemara in Nida says, Poletet Shechva, Mau Shetistor Beziva. And the conclusion of that sugya is that it's not a Yom Naki, but it doesn't make you start the whole count again. And how long are you Choshesh? So that's a Gemara Shabbos. Sheish Onot Shleimot Bayinan, as long as it's viable. We know, medically, that sperm remains effective, healthy sperm remains effective for 72 hours. So this woman can't do a hefsek for 72 hours. That's not so simple, because it's the whole first day and then 72 hours later and you finish that day. So then you need to wait until the end of day 4. That is the shita followed by some svardim. if you want, we could call them the Rav Ovadia Svardim. That at the end of 4 days, you can do a hefsek before starting the Shiv Nikiyim, the end of which you'll go to mikvah. Not all Svardim follow it. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu disagreed with that Shita of Rav Ovadia, but he has it in a footnote in his Sefer, where he says to rely on Rav Ovadia, like for cases of infertility, etc. The Truma Deshen added in another chashash of relations of Bein HaShmashot, that maybe you might think it's really the end of the fourth day, but it's not, and therefore he had everybody add another day. It's proper to add on a fifth day. So the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins that Polet Tshichot Zera Meser Atem Atog Uvav Onan Deshimusha Soterd on a yom. So he's calling it the fifth day, but not to get confused, he's counting from that first day when there might have been Tashmish, Ad Yom Hei L'Shimusha. But in other words, that's what we call doing it after 4 days, and the way we were counting. The Ramah adds a whole bunch of chumrot here. The Ramah says, Yesh Katvush Yesh Lamtin O Yom Bechad, some say add another day. Now again, we treat this as a big chumrah. It's really not such a chumrah in most cases, because in most cases, the average woman is bleeding that number of days. It's not that they're sitting around waiting a day to just become tamar. Usually, they're bleeding that amount of time anyway. Most women aren't able to do a hefsek on day four, especially depends on the time of day. Maybe if the day four is really close to four complete days, 96 hours. But sometimes day four can be like 74 hours later. And sometimes that's not enough for many or most women. Then the other chumrah that the Ramah adds in, he calls that fifth day Chaynog and Muhammad Dinon Elo Vein Lashanot Ashken Azim. You got to keep that fifth day. And he says it's En Lachalik Ben Shimshan Bala Lo Shimshan. In other words, it's a low plug. Whether or not they were having relations on the last day or not, we still have to keep that number of days. And then says the Ramah, it's even if she becomes tummy from a ketem, she still has to wait the 5 days. The Taz allows day four for the Ram Betulim. There may be other such circumstances. We tend to be matir. There are those who are matir waiting only 4 days instead of 5 days. If the first day was during Avelos, like Shiva, and when relations weren't allowed, if the first day was Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur as well, and when it comes to fertility, if you skip a whole month, that there are some who are lenient then to do 4 days, but that's only if the whole issue is the issue of the fertility is the 4 days, that's going to help. Okay. Can one wipe out the vaginal area and do a hefsek sooner? Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch discusses such a thing in Kuf Tzadi Vav Sif Yud Gimel. He says that Isha Shashim Shamita Ta Verata Charkach Vapaska. So they had relations, and then she had a Re'iyah, and it stopped, and she wants to right away start counting her Shiva Nikiyim. So says the Mechaber, Tikhaneach Yafe Yafe, clean out really well, Oto Makom, Bimoch, O Bebege, Laflit Kol Zera, O Terchotz B'mayim Chamim, wash it without water, Vim Yaflito Kol Zera. So that's what the Mechaber says, that you're allowed to wipe out and clean out the area, and then you can do a hefsek right away. Says the Ramah, some say we don't know exactly how to clean this out really well, we shouldn't rely on this. And that is our minog. And why does he say it's our minog? Because as I said in the previous slide, and from the previous siman, that the Ramah says that we are nohig, a low plug, whether or not you're a mishamish. So, therefore, if that's true, so then this is another area that's connected to that. Meaning, it doesn't matter if you're able to get out of all the semen, if there is no semen. And so, therefore, there's no heter like this, says the Ramah. And he says, "Kol paris gedar b'dvar melo makom shnagu la'achmir im shechenu nachash." So the Shulchan Aruch permits it, the Ramah prohibits it. The Tarat Abayit, remember, we just cited the Taz, who permitted it for Dam Betulim. The Tarat Abayit permits it in the case of Dam Betulim, especially if waiting for that fifth day may bring on her veset. I personally, more than once, had Chassanim who were in the army, in their active service, nothing to do with the war now. And they're in the army, in their active service, and they got leave in order to get married. and they leave, the army gives you, okay, the army is familiar with how long it takes to get married. So you need a wedding day, you need shav brachos. So they'll give you 8 days off or 9 days off. What aren't they giving you off is like 14, 15 days off. So if you do Bia Rishona, and then the Bia Rishona causes you to separate, and then you want to go to mikvah, and if it's going to take you 11 or 12 days later, so then you will have to, you won't be able to have relations, because 11 or 12 days later after their wedding, the chassan is back in the army. And he may get leave, you know, every 2-3 weeks or a month, let's say, but it doesn't mean that it's going to line up for that and this is a new couple. So, some of the chassanim asked me, especially one of them said he read it in Rav Melamed's Sefer. Melamed was matir. This is clean out. And you could do, after Bia Rishona, do a hefsek right away. And then you could have Shiva Nikim right away and go to mikvah day 8. And that'll be possible to have the chassan go to the mikvah twice, meaning go to mikvah the second time for Bia Shnia before the chassan has to go back to the army. So I checked with Rav Rimon Shlita, and he says, in general, we don't permit such a thing, but for a chayal in such circumstances, he would permit it. As a PSA, in general, we don't like cleaning out that area like this because there are bacteria there, but these are bacteria that are helpful. They help fight off infections, and if you recall in Mekoros, we included some of the medical background on that topic. Okay, so now, we finished Kotzadi Zayin. We were mashlim what we didn't do in Kotzadi Vav. And now we can just give a little hakdama to our current learning of Kotzadi Chet and Kotzadi Tet. Okay, so the chatzitza, there's basic yisodot you must know. All tefillah must be the whole body at once. The Sifra learns that kimrachatz b'sarob amayim v'ashem shetaher. Just like the sun shines all at once, so too your whole body must go into the water at once. In other words, if I'm wearing something, I didn't go into the mikvah, so that would mean that I don't need halacha chatzitza. But the Gemara says in Erev and Dalid that chatzitzen are halacha l'moshe mesinai. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, chatzitzen daraita. We just said, v'rachatze kol b'saro, shelo yedavar chatzitz ben b'saro l'mayim. So, wait, is it halacha l'moshe mesinai or is it written in the Torah? So, no. It's ki itzdarech, chilchata, what's the halacha l'moshe mesinai regarding saro, then maybe they're any little bit of hair sticking out might be the halacha l'moshe mesinai that sticks out of the water. But when it comes to chatzitza, the Gemara tells us, Tevar Torah, rubo hamakbid alav chotzitz. Rubo ve'eno makbid alav, eno chotzitz. Only if it's covering most of your body and you don't want it there. It's pretty hard to get a chatzitza d'oraita. The example I could give is something like a full body cast. For Shlema, hopefully, Rahmana Litzla and Liyan Hara, it shouldn't happen to anybody. But a full body cast would be something that covers most of your body. But you're not makpid if you want it there. So it's makpid when you want it off. So let's say it's supposed to come off and you couldn't get a doctor's appointment for a few days. So that would be where it's rubo or makpid. But that's rare. What's way more common is we have a chatzitza midrabanan. Chatzitza midrabanan is either of those factors. Even if it's rubo and you want it, or even if it's miut and you don't want it. Midrabanan, a chatzitza is rov and not makpid, or miut or makpid. So the Gemara says, maybe we should be makpid even on a miut chain or makpid. That would be gzera l'gzera. That's what the Gemara says. Now the Ramah tells us that l'chachil lo tidval afilu b'dvarim she'en chotzitzim gzera atu dvar machotzitzim. So the minog is to ideally have nothing on, even something that would be a miut umakpid, even something that would be miut she'en umakpid, that would be the ideal. This comes up, by the way, he wasn't talking about this yet, because we barely got to the Akdam in this year. We'll get to it, Bezrat Hashem. But this comes up a lot of times regarding nail polish. Nail polish is, that's perfectly good, is still certainly miut of your body. Your nails are, I don't know, you could do a calculation, but maybe 1%, your fingernails are 1% of your body. And so you have nail polish on them, that's certainly a miut. Now, if you like the nail polish, that would be miut she'eno makpid. But the minute the nail polish is chipped, and women look at their chipped nail polish and they go, ooh, that ooh is our hagdara of makpid, possibly. And therefore, when they say, ooh, I got to fix it or I got to remove it, so that would be miut u'makpid. So that would be the chatzitza derabanan. But what if it's really, really perfect? And we've gotten such shailas before, like, we have mikveh night the night before my sister's wedding. And I'm getting my nails done so they'll look really, really perfect at the wedding. But they're really, really perfect. So do we tell them they have to remove it in order to go to mikveh? And then they won't be able to have their nails looking nice for them. So there might be room for leniency here because, again, this is the Rama saying, lechachila lo titvol afil dvar m'sheinon chotzitzin. But even if that's the minog and lechachila, so now we're no longer at the lechachila stage. But you have to understand that a lot of the shailas that you are going to be getting regarding chatzitza on the mikveh, there's three levels of shailas. Number one, lechachila, can you go to mikveh with it? Number two, I went to mikveh and I didn't realize I didn't take off my nail polish. I didn't take out my contact lenses. I didn't take out my earring. You know, some small thing. Do I go to mikveh again? And then there's a third level. I already went to mikveh and I already came home and had relations with my husband. So when in general, the rules are that the chachila, even for chatzitza derabanan, we go to mikveh again. But for if you already had relations, we wouldn't make you go to mikveh again for chatzitza derabanan. But we will get to that more some other time. Majority of the time, you will get hakapada shailas. Really, you're going to get a rov shaila. Mizrat Hashem, more on that time. Okay, shkayach, Shabbat Shalom.
Rav, quick question.
Yeah.
The Ravid says,